I'm Holly Waymont, and this is Pediatrics Now for Parents. Joining me here in the podcast studio today is Dr. J.B. Canty. He's one of the few doctors in the country who's double board certified in neonatology and infectious disease. He also has a master's in public health. Dr. Canty, thank you so much for joining me here in the podcast studio today.
No, a pleasure to be here, as always.
According to the Washington Post, authorities in 15 states have reported around 36 cases of the measles as Florida continues to deal with a localized outbreak in an elementary school, prompting experts to sound the alarm about insufficient vaccination rates in some communities. What do you want parents to know?
I think a lot of the diseases that pediatricians and the scientific community has been really successful at eradicating have become out of sight, out of mind. You know, things like polio that the generation in front of us, or two generations in front of us, depending on the age of the parents who are listening to this, you know, grew up with as a real world threat, as something that they would see signs on the front of houses, signs on the front of stores. Those days are over, and they're over because of the success of vaccination. So things like diphtheria, everyone knows the story of the Iditarod and the dog sled races. No one remembers why those dogs were doing that heroic effort. People don't remember the polio days. People don't really remember the measles or rubella days. I'm in my mid-40s, and that era is a dim memory at the beginning of my childhood of chickenpox and things like that. So as a result, when those aren't daily threats to our children, they sort of fade back to the back of our priorities, right? We're trying to get kids to school. We're trying to get all the shopping done. We're trying to, you know, make sure they're staying safe online and make sure they're staying away from, you know, firearms. It's not a clear and present danger like it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, but it can be, and it will be again if our vaccine rates keep dropping. And so even though it doesn't seem like it's the most immediate thing to worry about, we have to, you know, unfortunately use outbreaks like this, epidemics like this, to remind ourselves that we're only a couple of, you know, months or years of poor vaccination away from being right back in the mix again. And that's going to be really frustrating to have to deal with all those things that we thought we had defeated.
A child could be contagious for 5 days beforehand before developing the telltale rash. Is that true?
Right? So measles is always sort of the canary in the coal mine for these low vaccination rate outbreaks for a couple of reasons. One of which, like you just said, is it's incredibly contagious. That the particles can aerosolize when people are sick. They can express these particles that stay in the air for a long time. People are shedding those particles days and days and days before they're sick. So it's not that parents are being bad and sending their kids to school sick. It's that their kids are highly infectious and on a Tuesday, and they're not going to have their first symptom until Friday. Hmm. And you're going to get a letter home from school saying, you know, all of your children have been exposed to measles. Sorry about that. It's been 3 days before, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days before symptoms onset. And then on top of that, measles needs the highest amount of vaccination coverage to stay suppressed. So as our vaccine rates drop, measles is usually one of the first ones we see because it requires a high percentage of the population, 90, 92, 93% of children to be immunized. And once we drop under that number, we're going to see outbreaks again. And that's what's happening in Florida. That's what's happening. That's what has happened in Houston and New York. And that's what's going to continue to happen in parts of the country that have lower vaccination rates.
And vaccination rates, are they at an all-time low?
They are in contemporary history as low as they've ever been. You know, vaccines first started, well, I'm going to go all the way back to Edwin Jenner and cowpox. But in recent history, you know, the vaccine schedule, the way it is now with varicella zoster virus and the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine and the acellular pertussis vaccine, in that era of vaccination, we are at the all-time low. And obviously some of that is driven by, you know, misinformation, parent hesitancy, parent uncertainty. Some of that is driven by active disinformation, which I think should be criminal. But as a result, the drive to go get vaccinated, the concerns about getting vaccinated, those are all combining to put us at a modern day low for vaccine.
You're a dad as well as a writer for Red Book, which is what pediatricians read that keeps them up to date on infectious disease practices. Is it too late? Parents who are listening, say if their child is 5, 6 years old, 10 years old? Is it too late to go get the MMR vaccine?
No, absolutely not. So we, you know, unless you have a history of being infected with chickenpox or measles, it is certainly not too late to go get it and get the benefit of that protection. Even adults can go get those vaccines. We routinely check pregnant women for their resistance to rubella, which for women who are currently in their childbearing years, that comes from the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, because there hasn't been a wild type case of rubella, meaning a community case of rubella, in the Western Hemisphere in almost 25 years now. So if someone is rubella non-immune, it's because they haven't been vaccinated. And as soon as they're done with that pregnancy, we're going to get them that vaccine and get them the benefits of that protection. That being said, as the MMR vaccination rates continue to decrease, we will certainly see rubella again. And I think we're probably only a few years away from seeing cases of rubella in the United States, cases of pregnant women getting rubella infection, and that rubella being transmitted to their babies, resulting in blindness, deafness, and heart defects the way it was in the 1960s.
Hmm. And the measles, there can be cases where it causes death or severe infection of another kind?
Absolutely. So measles, you know, for most kids is just a very unpleasant way to spend a week. It's fever, it's rash all over the body, very similar to chickenpox, although the characteristics of the rash are different, but it's fever and rash and feeling miserable and curling up on the couch. But for one kid in, you know, 500, one kid in 1,000, the virus can attack the brain and cause encephalitis, where it literally destroys the brain cells. It can cause pneumonia. There can be a lot of rare but very, very serious complications of the measles. And on an individual basis, it's the equivalent of kind of playing Russian roulette with one bullet in a, you know, 500 chamber gun. The odds are in your favor. But when you apply that to 4 million U.S. children being born every year, and the, you know, almost 80 million children under who are teenagers or younger, those numbers add up in a hurry. And so if we get to a point where vaccine rates are low enough, it's not a matter of will it be bad or will it not be bad? It's a matter of how bad is it going to be.
So are you recommending those, you know, listeners who have kids who missed the vaccine for whatever reason and can be vaccinated, go out as soon as you can? Or what would you say there and get them vaccinated?
Yeah, I highly, highly recommend it. If someone is just, you know, pretty much every parent I've ever had to talk to about this is acting in the best, in what they think the best interest of their child is. I've very rarely encountered a family who says, oh yeah, I know vaccines are good, I just hate my kid. You know, that's not right. that's not the circumstance. Usually people have heard things, they've been told things. Some of those things are out of context. Some of those things may just be wrong or active disinformation. And so the parents have had instilled in them a fear of these vaccines. So my recommendation would be, you know, talk to someone you trust who's reputable. Talk to your physician. Look at information on the Center for Disease Control, the state health services. These vaccines have incredible safety profiles. They've been in use for decades. We know when to use them. We know the rare exceptions who shouldn't get them. They're safe and effective. And if you are interested in doing the safest thing for your child, 99% of the time, that's going to be getting them vaccinated. And if you talk with a healthcare professional that you trust and you find out that your child is truly one of the exceptions that where the risk benefit may not be in their favor, that's fine. But almost always the right answer is going to be getting your child vaccinated and getting them vaccinated before they run into one of these bacteria or viruses in the wild and have to deal with that infection.
And parents, you can get more information on why you should consider getting your child vaccinated in this feed. The episode is called Got Vaccines. So that was an interview we did a while back, and I think that's so helpful. Is there anything else you want to say to parents? I mean, should we be worried?
So there are two things I worry about. I worry about right now in the moment, I worry about these pockets of areas where vaccine rates are really low. You know, all of the mathematical models, all of the teaching we do is based on this assumption that humans are sort of homogeneously spread over the earth. And obviously that's not true. You know, we tend to live in zip codes or towns or even streets where people look like we do and they think like we do and they make what we make. And we've got a very heterogeneous breakdown of our cities and towns all over the world. And so When we have these outbreaks, and one of the examples that comes to mind is the measles outbreak in Manhattan in 2019. So just before the COVID pandemic pushed measles out of the headlines, we were dealing with measles. And if you look at the city level, Manhattan has quite good measles, mumps, rubella vaccination rates, but there are small communities that may just be a few square blocks where those vaccine rates can be wildly different. And that's where measles will hit, or it'll hit at a particular school, or it'll hit at a particular zip code, or a particular section of one town where the demographics change and people believe differently than they do across the river or two streets over. And so most of our reporting is at a state level or a county level, but we really have to drill all the way down to the school level, the neighborhood level, you know, and if people are clustering in areas where everyone thinks that vaccines are harmful and they want to send their kids to schools where other parents don't vaccinate as well, well, guess where the outbreak's going to be every time.
Dr. J.B. Canty with the University of Texas Health Science Center and University Hospital, thank you for being here today on Pediatrics Now for Parents.
Thank you.